I've entitled our message today, Our God is Jehovah Jireh, He is Our Provider. Jehovah Jireh, as Avery so eloquently read, comes from the book of Genesis. It's mentioned in Genesis 22, and the name literally means the Lord who sees, or the Lord sees to it. This is what we long for when we have a personal need or something that we wish to acquire from God. Someone who will see to all of our needs and provides for us. Jehovah Jireh, one who knows our need because he sees our needs. One who is able to meet our every need in just the right time. And as I read those passages out, as I was studying today, there was a theme that kept resonating in my mind, and it came to me, it said, when God provides, it's always on time. And sometimes it's in a way that we know it's God, it can't be anybody else but God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, maker of heaven and earth, help us to see you when all is darkness and we feel our weakness and our helplessness. Give us the sense of your presence, God, your love and your strength. Help us to have perfect trust in your protecting love and your strengthening power, God, so that nothing may frighten or worry us. For living close to you, we shall see your hand and your purpose, your will through all things. Hide me today, God, behind your word, Father, so they will see less of me and all of you. I pray your anointing be magnified today so that you are glorified. And help us realize, oh God, that you are our ultimate provider. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 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 Well, to give you a little history about the miracle story, the feeding of the 5,000, it's first of all the only miracle that's recorded in all the four Gospels. So, therefore, it must have been tremendously important. It's a record of a wonderful work that Jesus did, and it illustrated that Jesus was much, much more than a mere teacher and a prophet. He was able to take the fish and the bread and multiply it to feed all the people, not some of the people, but all of the people. There were more than 5,000 men, and really was possibly or closer to 15,000, some of the records say, because children and women weren't counted in the number. But this story, Jesus feeds 5,000, it begins with a transition. This section, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened. And in some versions, it goes ahead and says, when Jesus had heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So Jesus was grieving. The news had reached him of the death of John the Baptist. And it moved him deeply. He had to retire to a solitary place, and the crowds were pressing he and the disciples so much that he didn't really have any time to be alone. And he needed some time to rest and to think. And probably the pain of the mission of doing God's work at this time was beginning to be felt by Jesus. And what had happened to John the Baptist, by the way, had happened to a lot of the other saints and a lot of the other prophets. They were being killed because they were Christians and professing the Lord Jesus. But nonetheless, it grieved our Lord. And indeed, the death of the saints always grieve our Lord, and it's recorded in the book of Psalms. But he and his disciples were trying to get free of the crowd to get a little bit of rest. And if you've ever experienced death of a loved one or loss of someone you hold near, grief makes you feel tired. It just makes you feel overwhelmed and you can't think. You have no energy. You just feel like you don't want to be bothered. And oftentimes you just want to be left alone. But Jesus didn't have that luxury. The crowds of people were pressing upon him and wanting to be near him and following he and the disciples. And we learn that after reading all of the Gospels, that that time was around spring. The grass was probably green. The crowds were believed to be so large because it was feasting time. It was close to Pentecost, the Passover. Some at least would have been on their way to Jerusalem at that time. So that kind of lets us know why the crowds were so large with thousands of people. It takes place in Jewish territory on the western side of the River Jordan, flowing into the Sea of Galilee. And this particular miracle, feeding of the 5,000, is so characteristic of the Lord's work in his care for humankind, and it symbolizes God's power to sustain his creation, and especially in its being a parable of God's readiness to supply spiritual food as well. But the verses that I want to focus on today in my message is 18, 19, and 20. When the disciples responded to their situation in verse 17, well, we here have only 5 loaves and we only have 2 fish. Jesus responded in verse 18 in a calm voice, I'm sure that only Jesus could muster in a time of overwhelming need. Jesus simply said, bring it to me. Just bring them to me. So the first thing that I thought, well, Jesus calmly said, bring it to me. We should take all of our concerns to Jesus first. This is a subtle yet powerful message that we need to take all of our troubles to Jesus. As Christians, that's what we should do. Take our troubles to Jesus first. Because in the Bible, it does tell us that we are to first seek ye the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness, and all of our needs would be provided. Our Heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what each and one of us need, and he will provide that for us. But we have to make God first in our lives. We have to live a life that God wants us to live. And it brings to mind again the illustration that Avery read with Abraham. Abraham was about ready to sacrifice his only son, being obedient to God, and the angel came in just the nick of time, and God provided a sacrifice. Makes me think of the story of David and Goliath that we talked about last time I was before you, a mere child that was pitted against a giant. And by no way should David have ever won that battle, but God provided strength, courage, and precision. Because our God provided what David needed, that God provided what Abraham needed. David and both Abraham realized our God is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. And when our God provides, it's always on time. And sometimes it's in a way that couldn't be anyone else but God. One thing that stuck out in my mind as I read the scripture was we should come to Jesus as we are. These 5 small loaves and these 2 dry fish, Jesus asked them to bring what they had, signifying that they and what they already had was sufficient. And though those disciples, they allowed their humanness to get in the way initially, Jesus still performed the miracle. Jesus still provided for them. We often respond to our circumstances in our lives, just like those disciples initially responded in verse 15. Jesus, this is a remote place. You know, it's already late. We don't have time to feed them. It's too many. We don't have enough. Send those crowds away and let them get their own food in the village. We can't do this. And we see ourselves in this response sometimes because we too sometimes respond with excuses, don't we? We're easily overwhelmed by our circumstances, and sometimes our current situation is just too much. We respond quickly without thinking. We respond in the moment, realizing only our own power, looking at what we cannot do instead of invoking the heavenly power that's bestowed upon us by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. And sometimes we get so focused on our own circumstances, we can't see what God is doing. We look at the world through our small, sinful, cloudy eyes instead of God's loving, graceful eyes. And instead of praying, putting our hand in God's hand, and seeking God first, we walk in misery instead of victory. But God knows all about us. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. He allows us to bring all of our mess, bring all our complaining and our stuff. He allows us to come as we are. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to be perfect. Hallelujah. We don't have to be a member of a certain church. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to be a member of a certain denomination. Thank you. And we don't have to be from a certain neighborhood of be the Joneses family or the Smiths family. God invites us to come just the way we are, bringing what we have right now. Thank you, God. In verse 19, he tells us, as he directed the people to sit down on the grass, right where they were, in the condition of hunger, in the condition of thirst, in the condition of tiredness. I'm sure they were sweaty and smelly and just mumbling and grumbling. Just like us today, I'm sure some of us are tired. Yes, Lord. This world does strip us of our energy. Yes, it tells us we need more, more, and more just to be successful. And then we need bigger and bigger and bigger to be best. We're not rich enough. The world says you're not pretty enough. The world says you're not skinny enough. Your muscles, guys, aren't big enough. Lord Jesus, help us. You're just not old enough, or you're not young enough. It's always you're not enough, you're not enough. This world we live in. I was reading a post on Facebook the other day and came across a passage I just had to share with you. And it said, the world may tell you that you're not enough, but Jesus thinks you're to die for. Amen. I love it. Yes, Jesus tells us to come as we are with what we have, because I will provide for you, my child. And taking those five little loaves and those two small dry fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks to God and he broke those loaves. In other words, Jesus came in a spirit of allow me, my child, my loved one, to serve you. Or he could have meant be still and know that I am God. Or rest, my child, and allow me to work. Allow me to provide for you, my child. Or you could have meant, sit down and get out of my way. Because sometimes, don't we get in God's way? You know, I have to raise my hand. Sometimes I love my little scriptures and get part of God's message and get to praying, and he gives me a little bit, and I jump on it so quick, didn't get the end of the story, get all wound up and messed up. But I didn't see God first. So he could have meant, sit down, get out of my way, allow me. You know, God doesn't need our help, and I'm so glad, especially if he's performing a miracle, right? These five small loaves and these two dry fish, Jesus asked them to bring what they had, reiterating again and signifying again that they and what they already had was sufficient, or at least Jesus would make it that way. Jesus looked up to heaven. He was seeking and acknowledging the Father, invoking the heavenly power, seeking the kingdom, and gave thanks. He gave thanks for what they already had. So even Jesus sought the kingdom of heaven first. Jesus' actions reflected the scripture because he is the living word. If we are to be more like Jesus and do what Jesus did, we should pause for a moment and think about that. Jesus held up five loaves and the two fish up to heaven and just simply thanked God for what they had. What the Bible tells us is if you're faithful with a few things and a little bit, God will put you in charge of many things and much. So we got to take care of what we have already before God blesses us with something else. Commercials on TV don't tell us, be thankful, God, for what you have. They encourage us instead to buy more, get in debt, be a slave to the world, keep up with the Joneses. But the Bible also tells us that if you are a slave to all those commercials and keeping up with the Joneses, you can't serve two gods. There's only two ways to live in the world, the worldly way or the godly way. You see, if you follow the world picks you up when you're looking good and when you're successful and when you got it going on. And as soon as you lose something and you're down and out and looking a little pitiful, the world tramples you. It turns its back on you. And I'm so glad we have a Father that sits high and looks low. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has compassion for us because he loves us. He provides for us because he loves us. Jesus never turns us away. And I'm thankful for that today, church. He was tired in this parable and he needed the rest. He was stricken with grief, but he still did God's divine mission. He still provided. He never, ever, ever turned his back on the multitudes when they were in need. He never put himself first, and he never complained. He looked up to heaven, blessed the five loaves and those two little fish, and he broke the bread. Then he gave it to the disciples. Oops. And the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. Because our God is our provider, and he is Jehovah Jireh. The Bible tells us not to be anxious for anything, but to pray through prayer and supplication, request all your things from God. The Bible tells us to lean and to trust him to make bitter things sweet. Lean on him and trust him when the battle seems more than you can handle, because the Lord is good and he's a fortress in a time of distress, and he protects those who seek refuge in him. And all of my help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Because we've learned in our 8:30 service, we pray it all the time and we sing it. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And I'm glad about it. My husband always repeats, there's nothing too good, too big for God. Because our God can do anything but fail. God provides the increase. He can take nothing and make something. He can take a little bit and he can make it a lot. I'm so glad that it only takes faith the size of a mustard seed to see God. Hallelujah. God sometimes blesses us above and beyond what we could ever imagine. Why? Because the disciples had 12 baskets left over. So God provides for now and for the future, right? And it made me think about that poem, Footprints in the Sand, and most of us are familiar with how God provides. One night a man had a dream. You know the story. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from his life. And for each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him, and one belonged to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand and he noticed that many times along his path there was only one set of footprints. And he also noticed that he only saw one set when his life was the toughest and he was going through the greatest storm, and it bothered him and he was disappointed. He questioned the Lord. He said, Lord, look here. You said that once I decided to follow you, that you were going to walk with me all the way. But here's what I noticed, that during the most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you forsake me, Lord, you left me. And the Lord said, my son, my precious child, gotta love you. I will never leave you. During your times of trial and your hardest testimonies and sufferings, when you saw only one set of footprints, you see, that was when I carried you. So I want to reiterate that not only did God keep his promise to never leave us or forsake us, God will provide strength when we have none. God carries us when we're at our weakest, Lord. When he provides for us, it's always on time. And sometimes it's in a way that we know it can't be anybody else but God. God also is a provider of our physical needs and our spiritual needs. And if you notice the pattern in the parable, first there was a need. The crowd was hungry. They took their need to Jesus. Jesus took what they had right where they were. He raised it up to heaven. He blessed it and then multiplied it. He handed the blessing to the disciples and they passed it on to the multitudes. Hallelujah. Well, you see, when we look a little deeper and a little more symbolically, the disciples were the ministers and the servants of Christ who received all their food from Christ. They carried out their spiritual tasks when they gave everyone some food and the multitudes, everyone some food. The disciples were obedient to God's instructions, and they fed the people. And that's a model for us here today, church. We are to get the word from God. Hallelujah. We are to be God's disciples and pass on the good news and the blessing to everybody else, that our God is Jehovah Jireh, that he is a provider. We are the church. And when we see a need, we should take it to God, take it to Jesus, and then we take that good news and we spread it. Tell somebody how good God is. So I ask you today, do you put God first? When is the last time you just raised your hand and said, thank you, God, for what I already have? Thank you, God, for just being God. And I urge you today to take your concern to Jesus and follow his instructions and be thankful first for what you already have. And God will certainly be a provider of all our needs. And sometimes it's abundantly and above all that we can imagine. And in the end, we'll all be blessed and we'll all be satisfied because our God is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. And we're thankful for that today, church. In Jesus' name, I pray that he add a blessing to this message today, and I pray that somebody will take this message and make it a part of their daily life. I pray that you take the good news to someone who's hurting, someone who needs to hear that God provides. If you walk right with Jesus, he provides all our need. Amen.